If coffee robs you of sleep, switch to Postum. The makers of Postum, the favorite mealtime drink in millions of American homes, present those two lovable old characters from the Hill Country, Lum and Abner. A few months ago, Mrs. A.V. Hansen, housewife living in a Midwestern city, was the last person in the world to worry about getting to sleep at night. She used to say, and it was really true in her case, that she could get into bed and drop off to sleep the minute her head touched the pillow. But suddenly, one night, this happened.
Oh, why can't I get to sleep? I turned off the light an hour ago, and I'm still awake. Oh, this is dreadful.
And that's been going on night after night. What had happened to that woman? What had changed her from a person who could sleep like a baby to a restless, tossing, turning, wide-awake insomniac? A doctor said it was nerves. Coffee nerves. Now, don't think I'm foolish enough to believe that coffee affects everybody's nerves, because it doesn't. There are people, and lots of them, who can drink coffee with no ill effects whatever. But there are plenty of others who cannot. So if you're being robbed of sleep, or if you have nervous indigestion, and you think coffee nerves may be to blame, or even partly to blame, do the sensible thing and switch to Postum. For there's no caffeine or stimulant of any kind in Postum that could possibly affect your nerves. Enjoy Postum, hot and steaming in the cup. It has a mellow, distinctive, full-bodied flavor all its own. And by drinking Postum instead of coffee, see what happens. In just 2 weeks, see if your nervousness isn't gone, see if sleep hasn't returned, see if you aren't feeling better in every way. Drink Postum. There's a reason. And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, friends, you know the men and women of Pine Ridge are deep in a battle for political control of the village. Things have looked bad for the men, too, until the other day, when Lum, the men's candidate for mayor, recalled that the best way to lick an enemy is to start them fighting among themselves. He immediately called each of his two female opponents and told her of insulting remarks he had heard women in the village say about her. As we look in on the little community today, we find Lum and Abner over at the Jot'em Down store discussing the matter. Listen.
We can just keep on going like they are now, we're saints. We'll have them women so mad they wouldn't vote for one another if there was just one running for the office.
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth said this morning if she had to vote for that Melvin Moot, she wouldn't even go to the polls.
Yeah.
And she's going to use her influence to get the other women not to vote for her, neither.
Elizabeth's pretty mad at her, huh?
Oh, Lord, she went over there yesterday and stood out there at the front gate and dared her to come out of the house.
Well, it looks to me like Melvy's the one that'd be mad at Elizabeth did it the other way around. See, I called Melvy and told her Elizabeth said all that stuff about her.
Yeah, and then Melvy turned right around and called Elizabeth up and started bawling her out. Elizabeth never knowed what it was all about.
That's the time. Just let them fight. Let them go at it. Just don't let on to Elizabeth that I started it, though.
Oh, no, I ain't gonna say nothing.
I don't like to cast compliments right at myself, but it takes a feller no psychology to figure out something like that, you know. Get these women folks to fighting amongst themselves. It's the only way in the world we could ever break up that organization of theirs.
Yeah. Well, Squire Skimp said himself it was a great idea you had, Lum. Said it's the only smart thing he ever heard of you doing.
He did, Good for him. What was he saying?
Said that was the only smart thing he ever heard of you doing.
I don't know as I'd go so far as to say that. He don't know what's going on in this head of mine.
He don't, huh?
Now, when I sit around and don't say much, it ain't because I don't know nothing to say. I'm thinking. It's studying up big ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
Turning problems over in my head.
Yeah, I've heard you say that's what you're doing. Yeah. Well, sir, it's a fine thing, Lum, to get big ideas like that to help out on such as this. I'll tell you that, for Squire never had a one in his head, not there.
Take me right now, I'm studying up another one already.
What's that?
Well, you said a while ago Elizabeth is using her influence to get her friends not to vote for Melvin Mooch for mayor. That still don't mean they're going to vote for me. They could vote for maybe Seastrunk, you know.
Yeah, could.
Now, I got to figure out some way to get them all mad at Mamie.
Well, then they're liable to go back to and vote for Melvin Mooch.
Well, get them all mad at both the women candidates, I mean.
Oh, yeah. If you could do that, we're a cinch. Ain't no doubts about it.
I ain't worried about you running for chief of police. You ain't got but one opponent, Ginny, and that's your own woman, Elizabeth. They're all mad at her anyway.
Yeah, and I know Mamie Seastrong says it out with Sister Simpson, too.
Yeah. I know that's causing a ruckus, all right.
Oh, there ain't no doubts about it.
I told Mamie Sister Simpson... She said that her dress made her look fat. That's what made her so mad. I know that start to forward.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said they had a hair pulling down Dick Huddleston's store yesterday.
Oh, they did. Clinched with one another. Grandpappy Spears tell me about it this morning. Said Mamie was in there getting the mail. Sister Simpson walked in the door and everything got right quiet, you know. Finally, that Mamie tore into her and just mopped up the floor with her.
Oh, well, I do know. I reckon Sister Simpson's surprised to death. See, she never know that I told Mamie all that stuff she's supposed to say.
I know it. And she don't know yet what Mamie's mad about. But she's sure out working again in this election, I'll say that, though.
Hey, that's the time. That Sister Simpson will swing a lot of votes, too.
Oh, yeah. She's sort of a leader here in town amongst the women folks. President of the Literary Club and the School Improvement Association, you know.
Yeah, now if I can find some way to get her mad at Melvin Mooch, too, we'd be all right.
Yeah. Let's see. How could we stir them two up right good?
Might call her and tell her that Melvin was making remarks about that song she sung in services last summer.
Oh, that'll get her. Yeah, she's awful touchy about her singing.
Oh, yeah. She wouldn't carry off no prizes on her singing, no way.
Who, Sister Simpson?
Yeah.
Well, I think she's got an awful pretty voice.
Got a funny taste.
Huh?
When she's singing with that choir, body can hear clean above everybody else. Always gets a note or two ahead of the other one. Reckon she figures she can be heard better that way.
Yeah, well, she's got a good stout voice all right now, Lum. Take her on a right clear day with the wind behind her, I believe you could hear her a good 2 miles.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, she's sensitive about her voice, all right. That might be the stuff right there.
Yeah, that's the best thing to start a fight over. Yeah. Let's see, what's her ring?
Short and too long.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bound to end up in a fight. That'll get one, ain't no doubt about it. Fur will fly.
I'll tell her Mamie Seastrunk said her voice sounded like a screech owl.
That'll do it, Lum.
Granny's ought to run for president, as many ideas as I think of about getting votes. Hello, Sister Simpson?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, is Sister Simpson there?
I tied 2 wildcats together.
Uh-huh. You don't know where she's at, do you? What meeting? Oh, where are they having that? Well, I do know. All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Weren't there, huh?
No, they're having a meeting of the Women's Protective Association over at the schoolhouse this afternoon.
Oh, sure, I know that. Yeah, I heard Elizabeth telling Pearl about it this morning.
Well, I think I'll walk on over that way and catch Sister Simpson as she comes out of the meeting and tell her all that stuff to the telephone there.
Yeah, well, mind out that Mamie Seastrong don't hear you now, Lum.
Oh, I'm making them all promise they won't say where they heard what I'm telling them.
All right, Doggies, Lum, wait a minute. I don't know whether that's the right thing to do or not. Now, that's just a little unhonest, you know it.
Well, I can straighten it all out after the election. I'm doing it for the good of the town. We can't afford just to sit here and turn this town over to the women folks.
No.
I'll be back after a little. Here comes Cedric.
Yeah, I've seen him. Well,
howdy, Cedric. What
have
you, Mr. Lum?
Abner's in the store there. He'll wait on you.
Well, I never wanted nothing no way. Just come over to the shed a while.
Yeah, come on back, Cedric.
Howdy, Mr. Abner.
Howdy. What do you know, Cedric? What's new?
Oh, not much of nothing, I reckon.
Huh. What you got there?
Oh, just a book here I bought for my little sister.
Well, she ain't old enough to read, is she?
No, but Mom can read it to her.
Let's see that thing. Where'd you get it, Cedric?
Down at Luke Spears.
Luke Spears?
Yes, Mom. Somebody left it in a restaurant there, and I bought it from Luke for a nickel.
Well, I do. Oh, these is fine stories, too, Cedric. Jack and a Beanstalk. Little Red Riding Hood. That's a nice story.
Yes, Mom, I think I know that. And
yeah, Peter Rabbit.
The Wolf Eater or something.
Huh?
Is that the one where the wolf ate her or something?
She ate the wolf or the wolf ate her. Something about a wolf. I ain't read it in a long time.
I read a wolf.
Peter Rabbit and I don't believe I ever heard that in myself.
Peter Rabbit?
Yeah.
Don't read that in there, Mr. Abner, if you got your glasses.
And let's see, our dog is here. Oh, yeah, I know this in here, Cedric. That's a story about them three little rabbits, you know, Flopsy and Mopsy and Cottontail. That's it. Something about Farmer Brown or something. I recollect that. What's this here? Oscar the Ostrich.
Oh, well, it sounds like a good one.
Yeah, this is...
What's his name again?
Oscar the Ostrich. Ostrich, I bet. No, them oysters, I think. Ostrich. Oh, yeah. Here's a picture of him right there. Let's see. There was once a ostrich named Oscar. Oscar was a good ostrich. He always minded his own business. Well, nice little fella. He would race around his own little sand dune.
Race around what, Miss Sam?
Sand dune, whatever that is. He liked to see his reflection in the oasis.
Oh, looking glass, I reckon that means.
Yeah. All right, wait a minute. I don't get, I believe that's our ring there, Cedric.
That's interesting. Never paid no attention.
Yeah, well, I'll finish it for you in just a minute. I didn't want to read it myself. Somebody's wanting to order something. I'll just tell them we're out of everything we got here. Hello? Jot 'em down, store. Abner Peabody talk. Huh? What's the matter, Grandpap? Oh, my goodness. What happened to him? They did? Right there in your store? Well, douse some water on him and call Doc Miller. I'll be right over there, Grandpap. Goodbye. Cedric, you'll have to stay here in the store. Lum's got himself beat up.
Beat up?
Yeah, the women of the town found out he's the one that's been starting these stories about him, and they ganged up and jumped on him just now and beat the everlasting daylights out of him. I'll be back after a while, Cedric.
Well, maybe Lum's plan wasn't so good after all. Some mothers scold, some mothers plead with children to get them to drink milk, but thousands of wise mothers give their little milk rebels Postum, made with milk. Because Postum has a deep, inviting, grown-up color and a delicious, full-bodied flavor that no child can resist. Postum is simply whole wheaten bran, slightly sweetened. It contains no harmful stimulants of any kind. And unlike heavy, over-rich drinks, Postum won't destroy a child's appetite for other foods. So from now on, mothers, if your youngster hates to drink plain milk, why not make things pleasant and easy for both the child and yourself? Serve the grand, tempting drink that's sure to make a hit with your child. Postum, made with milk. Now, don't forget, friends, come along next Friday evening at this same time when we again visit Pine Ridge with Lum and Abner, who say, it's generally better to keep quiet and have people think you know nothing than to speak your thoughts and prove it beyond doubt. Lou Crosby speaking. And remember, Postum, your best bet for a good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.